You beautiful bastards. Hope you're having a fantastic Wednesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. And just a quick note before we get started. I just want to say yes. Yesterday I saw a lot of you messaging us saying that you weren't getting notifications. Some of you didn't even get us in the sub box, and that's ranging on some of the videos we put out. There was a show. I don't know what the issue is. We've reached out. But yeah, just remember that pretty much every day you can come back and there's going to be a new video every single weekday. Hopefully that didn't happen because of the content of that video, because that also means that today's video would get hit as well. But with that said, let's just jump into it. The first thing we're going to talk about today in super happy fun time news is anxiety and depression. And the reason we're talking about this today isn't because I'm going to bare my soul to you, bring you into my heart of hearts, and let you know the secret struggles I deal with, although we all really do have those. It's because, according to a new study from the Pew Research Center, it is a massive, massive issue with young people. Late last year, they surveyed U.S. teenagers, specifically 13 to 17-year-olds, and they asked if certain things were not a problem, a minor problem, or a major problem. And what they found was that overwhelmingly anxiety and depression was at the top, followed by bullying, drug addiction, drinking alcohol, poverty, teen pregnancy, and then gangs. So looking at this, it seems like Gen Z is just stressed the hell out. You know, that's my scientific conclusion. In this study, it was also interesting to see the difference between economic groups and gender. For example, a higher percentage of teenage girls compared to teenage boys say they plan to attend a four-year college, never get in trouble at school, feel a lot of pressure to look good, feel tense or nervous about their day, get excited by something they study in school. And looking at that information, some of it's not that surprising, specifically the four-year college part. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics said as of 2017, more women than men have college degrees, four-year college degrees to be specific. Also looking at what teenage boys and girls prioritize, a lot of it's somewhat close except one thing. The percentage of teens saying it would be extremely or very important to them personally as an adult to have a lot of money. Massive divide between boys and girls, with boys at 61% and girls at 41%. And as far as the economics of the situation, how that plays into it, essentially, you know how people say mo money, mo problems? No, for a variety of reasons, but specifically with the situation at hand we're talking about today. Teenagers almost completely across the board, the higher their household income was, the less likely they were to say something was a major problem. With the only exception to that being this $30,000 to $74,999 block for anxiety and depression, but everywhere else you can see a very obvious trend. And I just wanted to talk about this because it was very interesting to me. Of course, every year I grow older. I imagine you do the same thing too. I don't want to assume your aging process. But what I mean, of course, is every year that I grow up, I become more and more disconnected to the young people. And I think it's important to take that look back because, you know, these kids, they are the product of our time. Right, like when you talk about 13 to 17, those are the formative years. I am a product of the late 90s, early 2000s. Yeah, it's very interesting. And also, if you're a nerd about this stuff, I'm going to link to the actual research down below. It goes even further. But whether you do or not, of course, I do want to pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts around this? I know we have people of all ages, and in general, it tends to be older, but how do you relate to the questions and the reactions from this data? And then let's talk about the current state of advertising in actually a few different ways. The first being, according to reports, the state of digital advertising is better than ever, possibly to the detriment of traditional advertising. And you know, we've talked about this from time to time over the past few years. Back in 2017, we saw digital advertising in the United States surpass that of TV advertising. But what we're talking about today is all traditional advertising versus digital. Right now, according to a report and projection from eMarketer, digital is going to go from 2018, 108.6 billion, to in 2021, 172.3 billion. Whereas traditional will go from 114.8 billion in 2018 to only 104.3 billion in 2021. And I know I say only, but if you're in the traditional space, that's incredibly concerning. If you're in the new digital space, very exciting. But really, of course, this isn't the most shocking news because it's just people's focus has shifted over the past 10 or so years. Also, another piece of this story, when you're talking about digital advertising, it's important to mention influencers, even though most people hate that term. But yeah, reportedly, according to a report from Recreate Coalition, collectively, creators on platforms like YouTube, Instagram, you know, all of them, in 2017, they brought in an estimated $6.8 billion. And the big thing of note here is reportedly that doesn't even include the revenue from places like Facebook, Twitter, Kickstarter, iTunes, Spotify, and Patreon. And then the final bit of advertising news is actually connected to a story that we covered yesterday. As we mentioned yesterday, there has been this story that has blown up around fear of predators on YouTube. As I explained there, I think the narrative that YouTube doesn't care or YouTube's not doing anything that is stupid and wrong. Historically, we've seen YouTube fighting this problem, trying to advance technology, doing mass hires, mass deletions of videos. And as I mentioned yesterday, I think the best way that we can try and help is if we come across content or people leaving comments that are messed up and wrong or illegal, we need to report them. But as part of this, you had a lot of people fear-mongering to brands that advertise on the YouTube platform, and so we've now seen advertisers pulling back. And today, we learned that one of the most notable is actually Epic Games, who of course made Fortnite. Reportedly, an Epic Games spokesperson saying, "We have paused all pre-roll advertising through our advertising agency. agency, we have reached out to Google/YouTube to determine actions they'll take to eliminate this type of content from their service. And personally, what I would say to Epic Games and really any other brand out there that's saying something similar, this is something that YouTube has been consistently fighting, both videos and in comment sections. And once they were made aware of the offending content, they handled the situation, which is once again why it's important that instead of saying like, YouTube allows this and they're happy about it, because once again, that is an insane argument. The best thing we can do is report disgusting monsters like we would anywhere else on the internet. But ultimately, I guess the way that I'll end this part of the story is Apex Legends is a superior game to Fortnite. This is not based off of their panicky decision to pull their advertising. It's just my personal opinion. I actually mean that because Epic Games is by no means the only company being panicky right now. And actually, since I just mentioned YouTube there, I'll tack this story to the end of it. It appears that we are in the YouTube end of days, which is just a dramatic way to say it looks like PewDiePie is about to be passed by T-Series. As of recording this video, they are only separated by 9,600 subscribers, which I will say, once he does get passed, or if he does get passed, it really doesn't change anything. He's still the most subscribed YouTuber. It's like him versus a massive, massive company in a huge emerging market. And what we've seen over the past few months of people supporting him, I think it really speaks to just how much the community cares about the personalities behind the channels, right? The people over corporations or something they see as machine-like. You've had creators small and large saying, do your job, subscribe to PewDiePie. You've seen and talked about pro-PewDiePie hackers putting subscribe PewDiePie into places you wouldn't expect into the world, that then signal boosting the campaign. YouTubers like MrBeast doing stuff outside in the real world, like at the can I say that word? The big game. But it appears that the Swede has one last hope, and that is, according to Elon Musk, unless he's just trolling everyone, he and Justin Roiland from Rick and Morty are going to be doing a meme review, which could be huge for Felix and cause a new surge. Also, I kind of predict and feel like there're gonna be some click-hungry journos out there. They're gonna bring up old controversies around this and tie that to Elon, which I personally believe would end up actually only helping Felix. But yeah, it's just been really, really interesting to watch, and we'll see what happens next. And then let's talk about the domestic and international news, that is the Trump administration announcing that it will be launching a global campaign to decriminalize homosexuality worldwide. And it appears that there is a focus on countries in the Middle East, Africa, and the Caribbean, where in many countries there are laws that criminalize homosexual acts. But that said, to keep this thing moving, according to a 2017 report from the International Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Trans, and Intersex Association, over 70 countries have laws that criminalize homosexuality in some way. Although of note here, some countries like India have changed their laws since this report, but of course still, the number is very high, and in fact in 8 countries, homosexuality can be punishable by the death penalty. And as far as this effort being made by the Trump administration, it will be led by the U.S. ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, who is the highest ranking openly gay official working in the Trump administration. Last night, Grenell hosted a dinner in Berlin with 11 European LGBT rights activists to discuss the strategy of the campaign. And in a press conference yesterday, deputy spokesperson Robert Palladino said this.
This really is not a big policy departure. This is longstanding. Right. And it's bipartisan. This is a good opportunity to listen and to discuss ideas about how the United States can advance decriminalization of homosexuality around the world. And that's been our policy.
And while we see Palladino there saying, you know, this is a long-standing policy, we've also seen reports saying that this effort may have actually been inspired by a recent event in Iran. There, we saw reports that a 31-year-old man was publicly hanged on charges related to the country's anti-gay laws, because Iran is one of those 8 countries that has the death penalty for homosexuality. And after this execution, Grenell wrote an op-ed in a German newspaper condemning this incident, writing, "This is not the first time the Iranian regime has put a gay man to death with the usual outrageous claims of prostitution, kidnapping, or even pedophilia. And it sadly won't be the last time they do it either. Barbaric public executions are all too common in a country where consensual homosexual relationships are criminalized and punishable by flogging and death." And adding, "Governments that are members of the United Nations have an obligation to protect, respect, and uphold the dignity and fundamental freedoms of their people." Also around these efforts, we've seen speculation that the Trump administration might see this as an opportunity to further condemn and isolate Iran, which of course has been a major part of Trump's foreign policy strategy. But also a thing to consider is that on top of isolating Iran, this move could potentially affect the United States' relation with countries that have been allies like the UAE and Pakistan. Both are seen as US allies and both have laws criminalizing homosexuality. And so with this, you have some questioning, you know, will Trump actually push forward on anything? Right, you have situations like not related to anything LGBT, but you have situations like the Khashoggi killing, right? Intelligence agencies, all this stuff pointing to MBS being behind it, right? But instead what we hear is we have a big arms deal with them. There's a lot of money and jobs at play. Right, so you have some people questioning if there would be any actual follow through here. But specifically with the situation at hand today, we have seen some interesting reactions, especially from some organizations that have criticized this move as potentially insincere. Right, you had GLAAD tweeting, "We'd believe that the Trump administration will work to protect LGBTQ people around the world if they had not attacked LGBTQ people in the US over 90 times since taking office, which then included a link to the Trump Accountability Project, which listed dozens of the times his administration had made decisions that could hurt the LGBTQ community. And to give you kind of an idea of the specifics that they give there, they include things such as the transgender military ban, as well as the decision not to add a count for the LGBTQ population in the 2020 census. We also saw the Human Rights Campaign reacting on Twitter saying, "The Trump-Pence administration has consistently worked to undermine the fundamental equality of LGBTQ people and our families from day one," then tweeting a thread of examples where they claimed that Trump's administration had turned a blind eye to the reported violence in Chechnya and turned away members of the LGBT community seeking asylum. There was also an article in Out magazine that called this an old racist tactic, writing, "Rather than actually being about helping queer people around the world, the campaign looks more like another instance of the right using queer people as a pawn to amass power and enact its own agenda." However, some of these criticisms, of course, have been opposed, even by some members of the LGBT community itself. You had people like Dave Rubin responding to the Out article piece, tweeting, "Alternative headline, gay magazine throws gays under bus in effort to be anti-Trump." And as far as where I personally land on this issue, as far as the Trump administration or Trump himself, his intent behind this, my opinion is that as long as there is follow through, I kind of don't even care about Trump's intent, right? If in any way this push could help the LGBTQ population of insert whatever country, great and fantastic. If we're turning a blind eye to allies or people we want to be allies, not great, pretty shitty and pretty transparent then what the strategy was and the intent behind it. Then intent would matter, it was all a ruse, you used the LGBT community as a shield for your political agenda. But ultimately we have to see what actually happens, but I cheer on any move that actually helps equality. With that said though, I'd of course love to know your thoughts. Do you think that this is all kind of just a smokescreen and using a community as a shield to do something else with no intent to actually help? Or do you feel like this is a genuine campaign that we will hopefully see progress, positive change, and really just any and all thoughts on this, I'd love to hear from you. And that's where I'm going to end today's show. And remember, if you like this video, you like our dives into the news, let us know. Hit that like button. Also, if you're new here, you want more, be sure to subscribe, maybe ring that bell to turn on notifications. They work sometimes. Honestly, at this point, it's usually just a better bet to follow me on Twitter at PhillyD and turn on notifications there. Also over there, I sometimes say things that are, you know, somewhat enjoyable and not completely stupid. Also, if you did happen to miss yesterday's Philip DeFranco show, the last extra morning news deep dive, you want to catch up, just click or tap right there to watch those. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow. Twice. You're welcome.